There's new data just now on where the most people in America go hungry. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. A report this morning from the largest domestic hunger relief organization finds a persistent problem of food insecurity. That's when people have limited or uncertain access to adequate food. And the analysis by the advocacy group Feeding America shows food insecurity listed by county were still at historic highs in 2014, the most recent year the data captured. Marketplace's Annie Baxter has more.
The report says 90% of the counties with the highest food insecurity rates in 2014 were in the South, where average incomes and education levels are lower, according to University of Kentucky poverty expert James Ziliak.
Another factor is the fraction of the population that live in rural communities is higher, and rural Americans are at greater risk of food insecurity.
Ziliak wasn't part of Feeding America's report, but he says food insecurity levels continue to linger above pre-recession levels. He blames the sluggish nature of the economic recovery, especially among low-income earners.
They're slow to regain full-time employment, and many households still have not.
The public at large thinks that this problem has gone away.
Feeding America's chief executive, Diana Aviv, says there are many households in the country where families aren't poor enough to access federal nutrition programs, but she says they're still struggling and still showing up at the food banks and soup kitchens in her organization's network. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
Facebook surprised investors yesterday with stronger than expected profits. Along with that report came this: Facebook wants to create a new class of shares in the company, shares that are designed to lock in founder and CEO Mark Zuckerberg's control of the company. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer has been following this.
Mark Zuckerberg has a conundrum. He's pledged to give away 99% of his Facebook shares during his lifetime. Zuckerberg says he feels a responsibility to cure diseases, upgrade our education system, and protect our environment. Thing is, Zuckerberg owns voting shares in Facebook. His voting control has already fallen from about 67% to around 60%. That's why he's proposing these new Class C shares. They don't come with voting rights. So Zuckerberg could give away these new C shares and still keep control. The C shares could also be given to Facebook employees or used in acquisitions. Facebook shareholders still have to approve the Class C proposal. They're scheduled to vote on it in June.
Nancy, thank you. Now to an economist who thinks the Rust Belt is not rusted out. He sees old industrial cities, Akron, Ohio, Albany, New York, even Portland, Oregon, as the next big thing. He calls this not the Rust Belt, but the Brain Belt, and a key ingredient is having a decent university nearby. Economist Antoine van Achtmaal is a senior advisor at Garton Rothkopf, a public policy advisory firm. His new book, co-written with journalist Fred Bucker, is called The Smartest Places on Earth, and van Achtmaal's voyage of discovery started when he noticed that some of America's overseas competitors were getting nervous.
I've spent 40 years of my life traveling in Asia and other emerging markets, and I sat down with business executives in Asia, and suddenly I heard something I had not heard in 40 years. They complained to me about American competition. They couldn't keep up with American R&D. And that's when a light bulb went up in my head and I said, something is changing. For 25 years, we focused on making things as cheap as possible, losing battle. Now we have learned to focus on making things as smart as possible. And there we have these fantastic resources, the universities, but also something we easily ignore. It's an asset, and that is freedom of thinking.
What about in these emerging areas of innovation, access to venture capital? A lot of those VCs still live in sunny California and are less apt to live in places where the sky is the same color as the sidewalk for two-thirds of the year.
People are traveling. And as these rust belts, and that was one of the reasons for writing the book, is to get basically people to notice what is happening. And now, for example, you see a company called 3D Carbon. It's a new way that makes 3D printing 1,000 times or more faster. Well, it was invented in North Carolina.
Yeah, North Carolina is famous for its research triangle and so forth. So in the U.S., almost too many to count, but Austin, Texas, Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Akron, Ohio. What about in Europe?
In Holland, for example, it's Eindhoven, a town dominated by the technical university and cooperation. You have Zurich, a lot of bioscience and medical devices. You have Dresden in Germany, and you have Oulu in Finland. In Oulu, as you know, used to be the research headquarters of Nokia. And then Nokia went down the tube. These research engineers needed something to do. And so they have now started to experiment with all kinds of wearables, which are going to measure your health, are going to be as important as the smartphone. And they're making enormous progress there, as well as in Portland, Oregon. What is interesting is that when it comes to clean tech or wearables or new materials or the self-driving car, these things are all being worked on in various places around the world.
The book is called The Smartest Places on Earth, Why Rust Belts Are the Emerging Hotspots of Global Innovation. The co-author is Antoine van Achtemal. Mr. van Achtemal, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
By the way, that was the guy credited with coming up with the term emerging markets to describe places like China, Brazil, Mexico, South Africa. It was back in the 1980s when van Achtemal was a World Bank economist. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.